is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, sign up today for the Summer of Better virtual basketball camp with our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. And remember, you can get up to $2,000 off on any trade-in. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Steve Moore, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads mentorship program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at HoopheadsPod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, and we are going to talk some NBA tonight. Although,
once again,
there isn't a whole lot of really exciting news to talk about, so we're going to hit on just a couple of things that have happened since last Tuesday, and then at the end of the pod, I have a special question for Jason related to the Cleveland Cavaliers in specific and the NBA in general.
All right. Well, I have a special question for you. I'm going to lead it off with the podcast, Mike. This is how.
All right.
I didn't want to prompt you with this one. I know you said you had one. I've got one for you. Here we go.
Okay. So we'll bookend it.
Would you ever imagine a time when you saw Michael Jordan attend one of your greatest rivals' wedding and then post about it on social media and say how it was fantastic going to their wedding? Would you ever imagine Michael Jordan doing that?
You mean going to Isaiah's wedding?
Isaiah or Larry Bird, Magic Johnson's wedding. The answer is no, right?
Well, not during his playing career. I did see what you're referring to, the exciting news that LeBron was in attendance at Draymond's wedding.
And he was taking pictures with Steph and Draymond and the whole Warriors crew.
It's a different era.
I understand.
And very strange, though. I still have a hard time wrapping my head around. It's one thing to be, I don't know. It's hard to completely wrap your head around it. And yet at the same time, I guess it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that you're friends with somebody off the floor and your rivals on the floor.
I mean, I guess Barkley and Jordan are pretty, I would say they're friends, right?
Yeah. But in the heat of the moment, and I guess this isn't the season, so it's the off season, and there's lots of different ways you can look at it. And it's probably LeBron's perspective on this is probably healthier than what mine is, but it still feels like it's not the greatest look, I don't think. But at the same time, you can completely understand guys today grow up in a totally different way in terms of their experiences outside of the game of basketball off the floor. there's so much more connectivity, whether you think about just the internet or you think about how LeBron and Draymond and Steph and these guys grew up sort of in that AAU world where you're playing on your school team during the winter, but then you're playing on these travel AAU teams. You're running into these guys or you're playing with them on various teams. And I know LeBron's a little bit older than Draymond, so I don't think he was playing any AAU basketball with them. But there's clearly a deeper connection than what I think the average fan wants to believe. And so the question comes down to, right, we're just talking about from a competitive standpoint, does it matter that these guys are good enough friends that they're palling around at each other's weddings so that when they get on the floor, they want to compete as hard as they can? And I guess you can look at it multiple ways and say, well, sure, it's hard to believe that LeBron would be out there on the floor going, man, Draymond's a really good friend. I went to his wedding. I'm not going to play as hard or I'm not going to compete as hard. That doesn't really seem accurate. And yet at the same time, as an athlete, it feels like if you build up a, I don't know if dislike is the right word, but as a competitor, it seems like with your friends, although, like I said, I think you can look at it both ways. Part of me says, you want to sort of have some animosity towards your opponent. At the same time, you think about brother-to-brother relationships. And I never grew up with a brother, so I can only speculate watching it from the outside. But wanting to compete and kill your brother who you love, I saw plenty of brothers growing up that was certainly the case. So I don't think that being friends precludes you from competing as hard, but I think that there's a perception that friendship sort of compromises the competition, even though I don't know that's true. When I saw that picture, my initial reaction was not like, oh, that's cool. My initial reaction was, oh, that's weird. So I guess I would lean towards the fact
that you get what I'm asking. You understand?
I get exactly what you're asking. I think there's two sides to that story. I think my own personal opinion, just based on my gut reaction on seeing the photo, would be that I don't really like that from a competitive standpoint. But yet when I look at it from a more logical perspective, you can see where I don't think that compromises LeBron or Draymond's ability to compete against one another. But it's just a weird look. It's not a look that we're used to seeing, right?
It was a clutch picture. The one that I'm really, you know, it's was all the clutch. Rich Paul, LeBron. I think Poole's a clutch client now. I don't know for sure, but anyways.
Yeah, I saw the one with LeBron and Steph and Draymond. That's the one. That's the photo that I saw.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. We've eaten up some of our time, so now we got to dive into what we really want to talk about, and that's social media. Well, we're going to talk about Giannis.
Is that social media or not social media? That's old media, right? Somebody just asked him, hey, would you ever want to play in Chicago?
Well, you know, maybe
a few. Kind of a weird answer.
It was not an answer I would expect out of Giannis, because I've always thought maybe he was actually going to like do the whole "I'm playing for one team for my career" thing.
And he still might. And answering that question was completely hypothetical, and in no way was he indicating, "Hey, when my contract's up, right? Hey, when my contract's up, I'm headed to Chicago," but. It just seems like it was kind of, as you said, from Giannis, who's been pretty adamant about doing it the way that Milwaukee was able to do it and sort of growing it organically and winning the championship with the organization that drafted him. It just had a weird sort of vibe to it. Yeah. It didn't feel like something that you expected Giannis to say. It's probably an honest answer. And it would be the same way if somebody came and asked me, hey, do you want to someday live in San Diego? I could say, sure, man. I love the weather in San Diego. That place is great. Now, I've spent maybe 3 weeks of my entire life in San Diego, so do I really have a whole lot to go on?
Man, probably not. Cost of living, baby. Oof.
Right. Am I likely to ever move and live in San Diego? Probably not. But if somebody asked me, I guess I might say, yeah, sure, someday I might like to go to San Diego and live there. Now, is that sort of the same thing?
Now, San Giannis Diego or San Diego?
San.
You know what that is from, right?
I don't.
Anchorman? You never saw Anchorman, Mike? I know.
Dude, did that movie come out in the last 30 years? I don't think I've seen it.
It's a quality Will Ferrell movie. You should totally check it out.
I'm sure it is. But I just, man, I'm just not a movie guy. What can I tell you? The idea of investing 2 hours or 2.5 hours in a movie is, man, I just, more power to the people who can do it, but I can't do it.
Sorry. I just didn't mean to get you off track on that one.
No, it's all good. But I guess my point is that we can all think and talk about, hey, maybe someday that would be something that I might consider. And I got to believe that that's kind of what this was, that he was just asked a question and he answered it pretty honestly without sort of thinking about what the ramifications are. And I don't really know, to be honest with you. We'd probably have to go on Buck's Twitter or listen to Milwaukee talk radio to really know whether or not people are. Yeah, whether or not people are concerned. We'll have to ask Devin. I don't know. I think Devin put out his episode before the Giannis to Chicago news came out, but it was a little strange. Let's put it that way.
It was a little strange. All right. Our weekly segment, there are clowns that play for the Brooklyn Nets. Let's continue that. There are clowns everywhere, but primarily on the Brooklyn Nets. There's two things I want to talk about, Mike. The first thing is Mark Stein reported that he was talking to execs about Kevin Durant and the like. I think the question that he posed to some of the execs from around the league was, what's the percentage or chance that Kevin Durant plays to start the season for Brooklyn or whatever? And there was a guy, one exec, unnamed, that stated that Kevin Durant said that he thought that Kevin Durant would retire before he played another game for the Brooklyn Nets. And Mark Stein uses that quote in his story. And then Kevin Durant starts subtweeting Mark Stein saying, oh, these people in the media, I don't even know. Let me see if I can pull up the exact quote that Kevin Durant said. He said, oh, come on. Well, I don't know. He tweets a lot, so maybe it's going to take me longer. I know most people will believe unnamed sources over me, but if it's anyone out there, they'll listen. I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. Ish is comical at this point. So that was what he said. And he originally had quote tweeted Mark Stein's report and then deleted that one and just wrote down what he wrote originally. So your thoughts on this? Is this just ridiculousness, joking, nonsense? Like, what do you think, Mike?
Well, with Durant's reply to that Stein tweet, if he's saying I'm not going to retire anytime soon and he has a trade demand out there floating around and the Nets can't or won't trade him, then that means he's going to be suiting up for the Brooklyn Nets, which obviously isn't what he wants to have happen. So I don't know. Look, you can react. I think as an athlete, especially as a professional athlete with as big of a following and as much of a presence as Durant has, look, everybody has the right to tweet and reply to whatever they want to tweet and reply to. But that seems like an area that if I was a professional athlete of Durant's stature, that I would stay out of that kind of back and forth. I'm not sure what benefit Durant gets from replying back to Mark Stein. I get that it can be frustrating as an athlete that you say things and they're misconstrued or people are always speculating. Look, we're sitting here right now on August the 16th at 11:47 p.m. and we're speculating about what's Durant thinking. What does he mean by that? Where does he want to go? Will he sit out if he's still in Brooklyn and they haven't traded him? So I get how that can be frustrating, but it just seems like there's not a real upside to me to Durant tweeting and responding to what he, in his mind, I'm sure are erroneous reports or things that are not what he's actually thinking. I just don't see the benefit to it. And look, I guess has he shared exactly what his feelings are? Is the trade demand enough for us to know exactly what he's thinking, and that if he doesn't get traded, he's going to sit out? Now, maybe he doesn't retire, but he's going to sit until they trade him. I don't know, but he hasn't come out and said that. So look, there's always degrees of truth and degrees of reality when it comes to what you're seeing on social media or what you're seeing in the media, because you can pick and choose the things that you want to pay attention to. Reporters can pick and choose the things that they pull out of what someone said. Anyone who's ever been quoted in the media, I think back to being quoted in a newspaper and saying things and then reading the quote the next day and knowing that even though maybe the general gist of what was said was what the quote was, it was nowhere near exactly what I just said. And so I can see where these guys who get quoted all the time and who are constantly in the newspapers, that it has to be frustrating for them when they're constantly in media stories and most of it is speculation, most of it's not true, most of it is anonymous sources that you might want to fire back. But to be honest, I don't see a real upside for firing back at a media member for the kind of report like what Mark Stein did. I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah, I just don't see the upside.
I think obviously he's got a job and he's got to do something. And right now is like, there's the doldrums of the NBA. There doesn't seem to have a lot going on unless you heard in the Brooklyn Nets stratosphere. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel on it, but I guess who knows if he was told he needed to do a story, or I'm sure he wanted to know answers or whatever, but I could see your point. I understand what you're saying.
Here's the question. Do you want to hear half-truths from athletes, or would you rather they just kept quiet and you just heard the media speculation? I'm just curious. Because you're not getting the whole story when you're talking to an athlete. When you're hearing an interview.
I prefer just them to shut their mouths. And I'm not saying shut up and dribble. I want to be clear here. Please do not say that I'm saying that. But I'm just saying don't engage. Like, this goes back to we don't need to talk about Baker, but the way that Baker handled the media here didn't go very well. I think it's not.
You can't win. It's a game as an athlete. I don't think you can win.
Yep.
Because you're inevitably, no matter what you say, you're going to end up angering people.
Yep.
And I think that's where that fine line comes in. And as we all know, the media over the last 30 or 40 years is dramatically different from the days when beat writers used to fly on the commercial plane with the team and go out to the bar after the game and hang out. And those guys back in the 60s and 70s actually became, in a lot of cases, friends with players on teams. And now that is obviously not the case. You have much more limited access as a media member to players.
Unless they're in your inner circle, aka Brian Windhorst, like that kind of situation, right? I mean,
yeah, Windhorst only got that because
of LeBron.
Okay. Right, but even that, right? Even that relationship, even though there's clearly a relationship there that has benefited Brian Windhorst, it's not the same as a guy who was a beat writer in the 60s and 70s. Windhorst isn't going out for beers with LeBron and his guys. Now, he might be able to have more access. He might be able to have those conversations, but it's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
And I think on the other side of it is that as an athlete anymore, you don't need the media in the same way because you can go directly to your fans through social media. It's so much easier to be able to broadcast your message. I think the problem is that when you're talking about what an athlete is putting out there, I don't think you're always getting the whole truth. And I'm not sure as a fan that you always want the whole truth. Now, maybe Durant comes out and he gives 10 reasons why he wants out of Brooklyn, and maybe there's some things in there that people didn't know because it came directly from the source. But I think more often than not, and rightfully so, athletes or other public figures are guarded in what they say. And I think they filter themselves even when they're doing it through their own channels. And I think they're even more careful when they're putting it through a reporter or somebody else and putting it through a channel that they don't control. So there's lots of different ways that you can spin this and look at it, but I kind of agree with you that I think there's a limited upside to responding to media reports. I just think that you're better off just kind of ignoring the speculation, because it's going to go on no matter what you say or do. There, people are still going to speculate until you make a decision. Think back to the decision and the number of people that were speculating. LeBron's going here. He's going there. We're tracking his plane. Here goes Dan Gilbert's going there. What's going to happen? And ultimately, what happened happened, regardless of what anybody reported before the fact.
Yep. All right. So Nets, really quickly, a player that plays for the Nets. Well, I should use the word plays very loosely in this case.
Occasionally?
He hasn't even occasionally played yet. He may even leave group chats if he doesn't like the conversation going on. Ben Simmons and the 76ers have reached a settlement on the $20 million grievance or whatever he had filed. Now, that is an undisclosed amount. They are not disclosing how much they are going to pay him.
Let's hope the amount is zero.
I'm going to say the answer to that is no.
It is not zero, but man, why is it not zero?
Because I don't know the answer.
He was hurt and he had
mental issues.
And he had mental problems during that time.
Yeah.
Mental health problems.
Hey, Mike, did you see the report that the opening game for the Nets is going to be against your New Orleans Pelicans? So we're going to have Simmons versus Zion in the first game, their returns to the league.
Nice. That'll be a well-watched game. That'll be a game worth checking out.
Yeah.
It's funny how excited we were when Zion debuted. You remember we did probably – I feel like Zion led the podcast for multiple weeks in a row leading up to his rookie debut when he finally ended up playing. And because he's been out this whole past season and because of the – I don't want to say the feud because I'm not sure there ever really was a feud, but just because of the fact that it seemed like he might want out of New Orleans and nobody wanted to know it. So it feels like he just kind of disappeared from both the national and my own personal radar, just thinking about how excited I was to watch him play.
That's pretty impressive, Mike, that he's disappeared considering yes. how big he was.
Yes. Well, let's hope he's coming back to training camp a little bit
what's,
more.
What's the spelt. Over-under? What's the over-under on his weight, Mike, and the first day of training camp?
280.
Okay. What are you taking?
I think he's under because I think, look, at this point, now, maybe he's not serious about his NBA career, but when you miss an entire season and you can't tell me that he hasn't had a multitude of people in his ear talking to him about what he has to do, that if he didn't believe it before, because he's always just been this athletic marvel, that I'm sure at various points in his high school career, when he was younger, that his weight fluctuated. I get the feeling that he's just a person who that's just what happens. But when you sit out for a year and people are just talking to you nonstop about the need for you to be in the best possible condition and what can happen if you don't, it just seems like he's got it. This is going to be a good indication of where he's going to go and what his career is going to be. Now, maybe he gets hurt and he's in the best shape of his life and he still gets hurt just because his body, even when he's in the best of shape, is pretty unique. But if he's not taking it seriously coming into training camp this year, then – man, I'm not sure what that portends for his future. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
You're taking the over?
I'm taking the over. I'm going to say he's at 290.
I'm going to fly you down to New Orleans to do some crack reporting.
Yeah, I might have to.
Take your Fitbit scale down there and get him to jump on there.
He needs to wear an Apple Watch for his health.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Mike, I started off the podcast with a question. Now you're going to ask me the question, a question that you have to end the podcast.
Okay. Here's my question. So this is pertaining to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
You take the current roster of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
So keep it completely intact, what it looks like today. You don't
not
have
including
to,
Sexton. Not including Sexton.
You can include Sexton or not include Sexton. To me, that for the question, you'll see what I mean. That question is, it's irrelevant to the question, I guess. Not completely, but if you take the roster the way it is, let's just include Sexton. If you take the roster the way it is right now today, and without having to trade or cut salary or do anything, and you could add any player in the NBA to this roster. So I don't know what you're going to take into account, not take into account or consider, but if you could add one player to this roster, who would be the one player that you'd want to add that
so,
you think would
so
make this
question,
team the
do
best?
Do I have to worry about salary or not?
No, nothing, nothing. You're
well,
just
it's Giannis
taking,
then. It's Giannis.
You're just taking the best player.
Giannis. Yeah. Giannis. Right?
Okay. I don't know. I'm asking. That's why I'm asking the question. Give me your reasoning.
He's the best player in the NBA right now.
Okay.
I have no doubt in my mind. I take Giannis. I think. Yeah, he would make sense for this roster too. I think, right? I mean,
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm asking. So
you'd play Giannis at the small forward.
Is Giannis your three? Mobley's your four. Allen's your five.
Yeah, no one's stopping that. That team wins 70 games.
Does that team have enough shooting? Does that front court have enough spacing? If you're going to play Allen, Mobley, and Giannis together,
Giannis doesn't play in the paint though. He starts at the top and attacks the paint. So I think there's enough room. I think it works.
Where are your driving lanes?
It works, Mike. Mobley's in the short corner all the time. He's baseline.
Where's his defender? His defender's in the lane.
No, it works. I take Giannis.
All right.
Who do you take?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just
who do you take?
So I went through this exercise myself and just tried to go through and think about who would make the most sense on the roster and trying to keep in mind, like, positionally what the Cavs already have and what they don't have. And I think your answer is the one that I ultimately landed on, but I don't think it's an ideal positional fit. I don't think it maximizes what the rest of those guys could be, because I do think there's spacing issues with the LeBron, Mobley, Allen front court.
LeBron. Oh, that's a Freudian slip if I ever heard one right there, buddy.
Did I just say LeBron?
Oh, yeah. You said LeBron.
I'm sorry. As I'm going through this exercise, you look at, well, where positionally, what position would you be looking for? All things being equal, if the best player in the league was playing this position, who would that be or what position would it be? And clearly, you would want a guy on the wing. So you're looking for either a two or a three to complete this roster. And I started going through and saying, okay, who are the guys that fit that would supersede taking the best player in the league and taking
James
Giannis? Who? No. Devin Booker? No. And then you start
Butler?
Looking at, okay.
Do you mean Butler?
No.
Okay. I think that's probably the closest of the three of those right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously my Freudian slip a minute ago, at his peak or near his peak or 5 years ago, I think LeBron fits.
He was at his peak 5 years ago still, right?
Yeah,
2017.
Pretty seamlessly, LeBron fits with this roster because he gives you another secondary ball handler with size to put next to Garland. He can shoot it well enough that he's going to be able to provide a little bit of spacing.
I don't have my song queued up again, Mike. Dang it.
That's It's all right. It's all good. It's all good. But I think that LeBron's the kind of guy. So I looked at the guy that I would say probably comes the closest, if you're not going to take Giannis, to
Luka?
Putting on this roster, Luka. Yeah, I think, because I think Luka, when you look at the characteristics of what would make sense, I think, now look, people are going to say that Luka and shooters is sort of the same formula, right, as LeBron and shooters, and Mobley and Allen, at least at this point in their careers, and Allen probably never, and Mobley probably is still a couple years away from being a guy that is a huge perimeter threat. Luka and shooters, LeBron and shooters, that's sort of the formula. But, man, I think if you put either of those guys with their playmaking, and Garland, not only can he play with the ball, but I think Garland can play off the ball and knock down spot up threes. And then you just have the rebounding and defense that you'd have with Mobley and Allen. I think Luka's a very, very close second, only because I think he's probably a better fit with this team than what Giannis is. But I still think, push comes to shove, you make me draft somebody, I think I'd probably pick Giannis, but it's maybe not as clear cut. As big of a fan as I am of Giannis, and I think he's the best player in the league, I think that positionally, Luka's a really, really close second and might maximize the rest of the roster a little bit better. But either way, I wouldn't turn down either guy if they decided they wanted to come to Cleveland. Let's put it that way.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Let's leave it there. Anything else?
I got nothing.
Got nothing. Well, there's a whole lot of nothing going on in the NBA right now. And hopefully at some point we'll get some resolution to what's going on in Brooklyn. And then that will maybe lead to some further moves that will allow the Lakers to be able to do something with Russell Westbrook or not do something with Russell Westbrook, whatever the case may be.
I hope they can't do anything, and then LeBron's like, I'm out of here.
Can't do anything either. I agree. Just because I think it would be more interesting if they can't, and then it will fuel speculation and discussion.
Home. Maybe.
We'll see. And who knows? We could still be talking about this Brooklyn Nets story
in January or February
as we approach the trade deadline. So that would not surprise me at all. So nonetheless, even on a slow news day, we appreciate you joining us here on this NBA edition of the Hoopheads Pod. Thanks for checking it out. Make sure you check out the rest of our episodes. We put up one with Dan Miller from San Marcos, Texas High School on Monday. And coming up on Friday, we got roundtable number 44, Jay. So we're approaching 4 years of roundtables. Pretty crazy. So we got that one coming up on Friday. Coaches talking about their fall workouts and how they get their teams prepared for their season. So 2 good episodes this week in addition to this NBA one. Thanks for checking us out. Appreciate it. And we will catch you on the next one. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.